What we thought we would do is we would have a bit of a Q&A panel discussion on the challenges, solutions, what's working, what's not working with your businesses. And so what we've done is we've put David here, who obviously has years and years of experience with spending planning. We've put Carolyn here, who actually started becoming a spending planner in what year was it?
It was 2004.
So 2004. So Carolyn actually was doing spending planning before we actually had spending planning. So she's got some great experience outside of the whole institute thing and then coming in. And then we've got Tonya, who's a new spending planner. Bree, who works a totally different way, which some of you may have started to pick up on. And we were thinking, you know, Bree, the group that you were in obviously knew how you worked, but this group doesn't, and it would be really good for you to hear a different perspective on how to get clients. And the other thing is that this group has all different ways of getting clients. So Tonya, for example, we trained Tonya in the sales process that we trained you, and Tonya had no previous experience in selling at all until she came to work for us. So she had no preconceived ideas or any other sales experience that took her on another track, for example, okay? Bree, I'm not really sure about, and I'm going to let you talk about your experience. And my experience with selling has been in all different aspects of life, but also from the stage, which I'm going to talk to you about a little later, okay? How to sell when you're presenting to groups. So.
And if you'd asked me 20 years ago if I wanted to do selling, I would have run away. I wouldn't have even answered the question. Yuck. I just thought it was getting someone and twisting their arm up behind their back and taking money off them. That's my thoughts about selling them.
And so what we might do is we'll just start with a little bit of background here, and then we're going to actually throw it over to you to talk about the challenges that you've had. And I know we've talked about this in some respects already today. You've asked some of the solutions that you may have found that you haven't shared with the group, what's working for you, what's not working. So this is your opportunity to talk about clients, getting clients, all right?
But it's not only about that. It could be any part of the process in your business.
Or the business. So what I would like to do is, Carolyn, I'd like you to just spend a couple of minutes explaining to people what got you going and how you get clients, and way back when there was no training whatsoever, and what you think actually took you into that process. So let's start with Carolyn.
So I think like David, back when we were introduced to Simply Budgets back in 2004, I became so excited about something that literally revolutionised our life as a family that I couldn't help but tell everyone that I've met about it. So my spotty is just me and David, sorry.
Not missable.
So after, as soon as I'd sort of come away from that initial meeting with David back in 2004 and introduced to the software, I just went out and spruced it to anyone who would listen. The first clients I had were my family. I started setting them up. You need this. Right, and I would just go around and I would set them all up on it. And I remember meeting David for coffee at that time, and I said to him, David, one day you're going to pay people to do what you do. And here we are today.
Smarty, weren't you?
I can see the future back then.
How many years did it take me?
That's okay. But I still get excited about it. And the way I get clients now is no different to the way I set up people back then. I talk about it with people. I drive some of my colleagues to work, and I was driving one colleague to work one day, and he said to me, he was saying how they were saving up for a lawnmower, a young couple, two kids, and I said to him, oh, when do you think you might be able to get a lawnmower? And he said, oh, I don't really know. He said, but I'm putting aside $10 a week, just so that I can save up for it, but things keep getting in the way. Well, that was the start of obviously a conversation about how I could help him get his lawnmower probably a lot quicker than his $10 a week. And so he became a client. And I realised at that point quite early on that my My niche for me is young families, because I see how they struggle. I know how we struggle as a young family, and they're the people that I want to help, and they're the people that I'm most in contact with. I have a large base of people that I work with. We have over 100 staff where I work, and my first paid client, she wasn't paid, because she actually came into work one day in tears. She was a young girl who fought with her husband the night before, came in tears, all upset, and we had a chat, and she said, all we have to do is fight about money. And that then led into, have you got an hour next week when we can have a chat here, because I can help you. And she actually just put a thing up on my Facebook this week to say that 2 years down the track, they've just picked up their fee to their new house this weekend, they're moving this weekend, and they've gone from 8 credit cards, $80,000 in debt, to a car loan and a mortgage and a brand new house. And
how good is that, and how do you feel?
Yeah, it's awesome, absolutely awesome. You know, and I was just so excited. She put up this great thing on my website, a little testimonial, to say you need to see this person because she's amazing and this is what she's done for us, which was great for me as well. So that's what gets me excited.
Yep.
And that's what I just love what I do, and I spruik what I do to anyone who'll listen, and it's just a part of it. I don't even, like, when you talk about sales, I cringe. I'm the same. I don't even look at what I do as selling anything, because I hate that word, and I hate the fact that I might be selling something to people that they don't want. I don't sell anything. I provide myself, and I say to my clients that I've got, you're not paying for software, you're paying for me. And I'm going to give you 110% for as long as you need me. And I've got clients who've been with me now for over 12 months, and they say to me still, don't go anywhere because we still need you. Which is great.
Can we just...
I just wanted to ask, on that particular point, Carolyn, given, like a lot of us, you don't like the sales part, how do you actually broach the subject of being paid?
Okay, can we just...
Is that on
the no, 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 it's fine. No, it's fine. What we're going to do is repeat the questions for the... because we're audio recording. So we'll repeat them here so that it picks it up, because you're in that room, it doesn't always. So, yeah, and the air conditioning. So can you repeat that question, because you're closer?
The question is, how do you actually broach the topic of being paid?
Asking for payment.
Yeah.
Okay. My son-in-law came to me a few weeks ago, actually, and he said to me, he's a really good spruiker for me, and he has a lot of contacts. He's a chaplain in the school, and he has a lot of contacts. And he said to me, I always get stuck on when they ask me, how much do you charge? And I said to him, you know what? I said, the answer to that question is, how much would you pay for me to come alongside you, to work with you, to help you overcome your financial issues, to work closely with you for a month, and then to work maybe not so closely with you for an ongoing amount of time that you choose, and I will guarantee you that I will be there 110% of the time, that if you've got a question, it doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is, I will answer it for you, and I will guarantee you my absolute 110% service. How much would that be worth to you? To give you the peace of mind to know that I can help you with your financial problems.
And what do they say?
They say, I think I'd pay anything for that, I really could, because I don't charge anything. I charge a certain set fee, and I've got three ways that you can pay that. And what we need to do is sit down, have an hour's conversation, and that first hour is free. That's not going to cost you anything. I can show you how I can do what I've just said I would do, and after that we'll talk about how much it's going to cost you. So I don't even bring it up. And when I said that to my son-in-law, Charles, that's awesome. If I can do that, I'm going to go out and tell everyone just that. So it made his life easier as well.
Basically.
Well, yes. But see, I don't even talk about money, because I'm not selling anything. I'm providing a service.
Which isn't selling.
Hey?
Which isn't selling.
Well, it is.
Well, no, well...
I'm being sarcastic.
I know.
Carolyn, I want to ask you a specific question because a number of people who I've spoken to, like newer planners, have spoken with people who are with My Budget.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting them down or anything, but they've, and they've kind of gone, okay, I can't get you on board as my spending planner because I've signed up with My Budget until such and such a date, so, and then they've gone, oh, okay, well, we'll talk later then. And I know you've had people on My Budget, and what's your response to that been?
I have a person who actually came to me just last week from school, and I've been talking to her for about 12 months now. 12 months ago she came to me and she said someone else had spoken to her in the organisation about what I did, and she came and had a chat with me, and she said, look, I'm currently with My Budget, and we've been with them for 7 years. And I said, oh, okay. And then she shared her story with me of how that all came about and whatever. And I said, okay. I said, well, this is what I do. Would you like to set up a time where we can have a chat and I'll come out and meet your husband and we can just have a chat about what I do? And she said, oh, no, at this stage, I think we'll just stick with My Budget. And I just left it. I thought, okay, that's fine. You know where I am. You're upstairs, I'm downstairs, it's fine. So I just left it for a while. She came to me just a week ago and she said she wanted some information on my mortgage broker because this is their year where they want to get everything in place, right? Everything sorted for transition to retirement, basically. And I said to her, okay, that's great. I said, I can give you that information. Do you want to set up a time where I can come out and actually go through the spending plan with you and we can get you away from My Budget and into, you know, looking after your own finances? And she said, no, I think we might just stick with My Budget. And I said to her, do you realise, I said, with your weekly fees to My Budget and your setup costs, in the last 8 years, you have spent $21,000 on My Budget. And she looked at me and went, oh yeah, but they do a good job. I said, okay, well, talk to my mortgage broker and he will probably refer you straight back to me because he really likes when he's doing his job, he likes you to work with him at the same time. So have a chat with him, lovely guy. I said, and we'll set up a time as soon as you've spoken with him and we'll organise your spending plan. Because really, think what you could have done with that $21,000, that's a lot of overseas holidays. So I've just got her thinking. But she's in a comfort zone. My Budget is her comfort zone. It's been her comfort zone for 8 years, and it will continue to be her comfort zone.
It's a security blanket.
It is. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. So it's just, all I can do is plant seed, and, you know, as I said, she knows where I am. She keeps coming back for more, and eventually she'll come on board. But at the moment, My Budget is her security blanket.
All right, so thanks, Carolyn, all of that. And guys, yeah, it's good, isn't it? Just on the question about money, you all know that that's a great question. We'll answer that when we have a chat. When can I make a time to have a chat with you? Remember that? Okay, that's a great question. I can't answer it right now because it'll take a bit of time. When we make it...
Don't even know if we're going to.
We don't even know if we're a good fit. So that's good. All right, so Bree, you have a little bit different way of recruiting clients. So could you...
A different story completely.
Yeah, totally different story. So could you just spend a few minutes, please, and give us the rundown on that?
Sure. I teach people how to invest in property. So I run a business along those lines. And a lot of the... referrers we already had in place, financial planners. We actually have a mortgage broking company in our office. I already had one employee, and I just added to his task that these interview phone calls are now something that he does as part of his job. And I have a paraplanner. So when I first came and did the course, I had my sister with me, and she's my first paraplanner. And she basically manages the clients. So from my point of view, I don't actually... besides referring clients to them and setting up appointments for them, I don't really touch much to do with the business. He makes the initial phone call, and she looks after them. And if there's any problems, then they come to me. but really hands off from where I am to do his spending planner. But I had to learn everything and know everything, otherwise I can't teach others to do it. So our goal is in the next 6 to 12 months to have another para planner. So we're just going through the process of the numbers and, like Tonya was saying, knowing how many one para planner can handle at a time, so we know what their capacity is before we can move on to the next one, and setting up all those structures.
Yes, Deborah. And sorry, we need to repeat your question. So
that's fine. When you're talking about a para planner, are you talking about a financial planning para planner, or are we talking a different type of para planner?
So the question is regarding, is she talking about a para planner as in the Spending Plan Institute, or a para planner for somebody else?
Yep. Okay.
One of us can. I will. So, in the financial planning industry, there are financial planners who meet clients face-to-face and do all of the number crunching and what have you. But there are some of them who just sit in the back room, never meet clients, never actually have to do the face-to-face bit, but they just crunch the numbers and produce the plans and give it to the financial planner to give to the client. Is that right? Is that exactly the truth?
Yeah, so I would actually like her to be bringing in clients. She has 6 kids at home, the youngest is 1. And so that's kind of, she tells me that's difficult for her, but our goal this year is going to be getting her to get her own clients as well. Because once we have multiple para planners, the amount of work that we give her will minimise, because we'll then do it in a...
But she's a qualified para
Yeah, but
planner.
Hang on, no, let's answer your question. Yeah, we haven't actually finished.
Post.
Yeah,
no,
we haven't.
She did the course.
Yeah. We'll just finish answering that, because David got partway through it. So what David was explaining was a financial planner, para planner, right? So we took that idea, and we now have spending planners who are actually spending para planners. Okay,
so we started
training them.
Yep, sorry.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Yeah, it's just happened recently. So let us finish, okay? Because it's one of the things that we haven't really announced. So,
para planner does not have a login, as you guys have your own account within the Spending Planner software. They work for somebody else and use their login and work with their clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as you build your businesses and you want people to work for you, if you have someone working for you that is dealing with clients, they must be qualified as a para planner to keep the industry. And so we have 2 para planners. We've got Bree's that we've trained. We've got Bree's sister Sonia, who's a great gal, and she works in Sydney, and Bree's business is in Brisbane. So again, she's setting it up with people around. And our other para planner is Al. Tonya is the spending planner, and Al is a para planner. So he's been trained as a para planner as well. Stuart.
Does that mean our own business is one spending planner and then para planner?
If it's your business, you're the certified spending planner, you have the logins, so they can never ever take business away from you. Yeah. Can we come back to the para planner question a little later today as well? But we wanted to just introduce you to Bree's model, part of which is that she has what she calls a BDM, which is a business development manager, and he does her sales calls. So Bree sets the appointments up, he does the sales call, signs them up, and then they move to the para planner. Does that sound good? And what did Bree say? She doesn't touch it.
I set up the appointments a lot of the time because I'm the one that's done the courses and I'm the one that's driving it right now. But the goal is to have them independent. BDM, he should be driving his own business, but he does other sales as well, so it's just working that in. And to get her to the point where she's confident to do that, she also has that resource to say, I've got this person, they're free this time, can he make the sales call? So she doesn't have to do that, but she should be able to do that.
Well, those of you who've read Robert Kiyosaki's book, The Cashflow Quadrant, do you recognise, and for those of you who haven't, we're talking about the difference between someone who is self-employed to someone who is a business owner. I should do it that way if you're looking at me. So when you run a business, you don't do the
grunt work.
The grunt
so to
work.
Speak. Hmm. Okay. Right.
Something to keep in mind.
Julie, can I borrow your pen? Okay. All right, so I know that you have all heard a fair bit of Tony's story, you certainly know David's. So we're going to open the floor, and this is for questions about getting business, getting clients, the process, how they went out and got them in the first place. whatever you want to know. So we're looking for things like the challenges that you are facing, whether there's some solutions here in the panel. If you have a solution, we're happy to hear about that as well. We want to know what's working for you and what's not working. And this is your opportunity to talk about the business.
So I'm interested in anybody who'd like to say, this is what I have done since I did the training, and this is what my experience has been, and I've had difficulty in this area. And we can all put our two bob's worth in and see if we can help. Experienced people up front.
Right, Lizzie, Let's start with you. Can we bring you out so that we can
stand up?
I want to get you close to the microphone.
Yeah, come and
sit.
You need to be down here, Lizzie.
Yeah, so we've got two.
You've got a big voice for a little girl, but that's...
probably my biggest frustration that I'm feeling at the moment is initially after the training course, I had a few perspectives that I thought, yep, they would be my target, they'd be ideal, strategic, okay. Got them all excited, got it all set, yep, I'll do it for you because I know, you know, do a good price because I know that you're going to be a spruiker for me. I know that, you know. Probably two people that I did that to, but then getting them actually to do the work was probably my next big thing, and I'm still chasing them. Like one of them I went to, took me three goes to actually get an appointment. I think I went to the appointment about the 20th of August. And I have been, you know, just to actually get them to physically sit down and do the work. I know David's going to say, I didn't get their skin in it. And I know that, and I know that myself.
There's a few things coming to mind, but I'm...
And I guess, yeah, so probably that's just been one of my frustrations.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I guess, can I just say here now, another one of my frustrations is... And I know I still do it now, and I'm ready to send an email or send something to do. I sit on it for a while. I haven't found the confidence in myself to say that I can do what Caroline does. And I know I can. I know that once I get started, I can do it. It's just, I go, do I really want to climb? Because I'm doing it.
That's called the fear of success.
Am I really going to help this customer, or should I push the button? Do I really want to push the button? And I want to push the button to the bank manager so I can get 10 clients to it. Yes, I've done it, you know. So just another frustration.
Hands up all those people who have a fear of success.
So, Lizzie, I have one question for you. Are these people paying you?
The two people, no, they're not. One of them actually is now. His mother's actually said she would pay it for him. And he wants to go on a surfing holiday, and I text him all the time, the surf's great today. And we started work, you know, we started saving that, you know, that surfing holiday, so I'm still, and he's, you know, he's 27.
So here's my comment.
Yes. Yep.
You decided these people would be good.
Yes.
Had they decided that? Have you actually found the pain? Are they in pain? Because if they're not...
They are in pain.
It's not deep enough. You haven't gone deep enough.
Yeah.
And look, this guy, if his life's all about surfing, he's probably in this place where life's just all about surfing, no responsibility, yeah. I don't really care.
And mummy paid for
it. You can see that the need's there, he's not there. That's what I'm thinking.
He is.
Anybody else on the...
He wants to live, you know, he's living at home, and he wants to get out of home, and he wants to go on a surfing holiday, and I've been, you know, all those things. But he's that age where they just...
And he wants to give up drinking, and he wants to give up smoking, and he wants to lose weight.
So let me just say something on this. Your responsibility is to deliver your business. It's their responsibility whether they take you up on it. So you're being paid. Your responsibility is keep hitting those buttons, but it's up to them what they do with it. You can never, ever make somebody change. Ever. It's their choice.
For me, when I was young and I was a personal trainer and we didn't have much money, if I was committing $15 a week or whatever it was to the gym, I was going to get my money's worth. And I was going to be there 3 days a week to get my money's worth. When they've put no money into it, when they've put no value on it, they don't see a value in doing the work because they haven't shown you the value of giving you the money to do it or committed that money to do it. And the second thing is when you walk into a room to present something to somebody, they're buying your confidence. When you see, she says, I'm going to do this for you. This is going to happen. Every time, they're buying her confidence that she can get them to where they want to go. So if you're not confident walking into that room, they sense it and they'll be hesitant to do what you want or what you need or what they need to do to get where they want to go.
I just need to get that out there today so that I could deal with it. So,
voice it.
And can I just ask one question on that $15 a week thing? And this is probably another issue that, you know, is it better a weekly charge, a monthly charge, or what, you know, break it down? Is that open to discussion on, you know,
monthly
paying for?
Just stick with the program.
Yeah.
But think about when they have a spending plan, even if they get paid monthly, you still break down their weekly costs for their groceries and that kind of thing. So effectively, once they've got a spending plan, that whether that $100 is monthly or whether it's $600 in 6 months' time, it shouldn't matter because it's in their spending plan and they've allowed for it, so it's there. So it shouldn't be an issue for them. It's mainly the initial payment.
But it's just the site thing. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Lizzie. Who was up
here?
Stuart. Come forward. You said you had a question?
You got your foot in it now.
Do you remember your question?
I had some feedback, not feedback, some insight. Primarily do all of my advertising on Facebook because I do very, very little face-to-face and personal. Yep. And I've found that if I just use the word spending plan and spending planner, I get a lot of questions about what that is. And some people even think that I'm like a shopping concierge. I go, help them spend their money. So I do throw the word budget out there, and I do it in a very positive way. I just wanted to get your feedback on that. Because I know David and Jenny sort of very strictly told us in the training not to use the word budget because it is a negative connotation. So I'm interested in...
My budget's taken $21,000 off this woman, and she's not afraid of the word budget.
Yeah, that's right.
I like what you said about couching it in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I actually like the spending concierge. I do, because we're spending planners, and part of what people do is they shop. And in actual fact, everything you spend money on is pretty much you going shopping. You shop for a house, you shop for somewhere to live, you shop for your food, you shop for your clothes. Do you know what I mean? So I think you could actually really use that and take it further. Personally, I would, if that's what people are asking you. And the other thing is, you want to get people engaged in a conversation. If they ask you what it is, that's your leading. If they're not asking you what it is, you haven't even got... Remember when we talked about the elevator pitch? And we said you start with a certain sentence, which is, do you know how? And you put your elevator pitch stuff in there. And if they nod off or go whatever, or, oh, that's not me... They're not your client, right? So you're actually probably eliminating people by the way you're posting, I would guess.
Thank you.
Good job. All right, next. Yes, give him a clap. Next.
Opportunity
Jenny,
knocking,
come
take
on.
It. Come on, Jenny.
I think the stage I'm getting stuck at in my business is crossing into monitoring and how monitoring actually works, because I haven't experienced that myself or seen anyone doing that. So if you could just get some feedback.
Okay, so what you said, for those of you that didn't have to back, you just difficult to stay there.
Stay there, Jen.
Run away. This is your chance. This is your big moment. Crossing over into monitoring. So the setup. So you've taken some people through setup.
Yeah.
And they've got their plan.
Yeah.
And then you're not sure how to get in. So
I think I've been trying to get the plan perfect as opposed to, like, get the plan perfect before I start monitoring, but obviously that's not the process.
Yeah, no. You'll never get the plan perfect. The plan will never be perfect. Life throws all sorts of curved balls at you. Your daughter will email you from Canada and say, I'm getting married, do you want to come? Your son will get his teeth knocked out. All sorts of things happen. So a plan is as good as it can be. Let's get started and we'll tweak it and mould it and shape it as we go. So as soon as you've got people who've put in their expenses and you've gone through them with them and gone, this looks like a plan and it looks like it can work, let's get started. Okay, next week you're going to get an email from me that says, where are you and what does your plan say where you should be? That's it, you've started monitoring.
Mm.
Is that, what's been the hurdle? I really need to understand.
I think in my experience, I've used simply budgets as just looking at it as a snapshot. This is where we're at, that's going to work. Yeah, if we do this, this and this, everything's going to be fine. But then not continuing
not the ongoing journey
through a plan.
Yep.
Myself. And then at another point of time, I'll just do another budget and do it that way. And I could see yesterday when Nick was talking about, you know, to skip forward, are we actually going to be a accountable to our plan, or are we just going to skip forward and start again?
No, it's an ongoing journey now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yep. I know I've got people that bought my software and got it out every time they were in pain, put in all, you know, updated everything, went, oh yeah, she'll be okay, and then forgot about it. And they were doing the that journey that I talked about.
Really, the monitoring is about, like, clients setting up good habits around money, because a lot of people don't have that money of, like, for all of us probably in this room, we're used to getting our credit card, checking the statement, seeing if there's some stuff on there that's not supposed to be there. Like, but I would guarantee that any of my clients, if they ever had any credit card fraud, they would have no idea that it was on their credit card statement because I've never looked at it. And so for them, it's just like about actually every week going, okay, what bills have we got coming up? Because that's obviously going to show in the calendar. I've got these bills. Cool. Check my bank balance. Yep, there's this much there. I'm supposed to have this much. Happy days. Carry on. So it's actually about getting the habit of checking in. Whereas potentially, because most of us are probably good with money, we might not have initially been, but we've had simply budgets, we've used it, we've kind of got those habits in place, we kind of forget that we do it like without thinking about it, but they don't do it without thinking about it. So we need to make sure we're getting them in the habit of doing that. And then also that's going to then pick up when the plan's not perfect, because they're going to go, oh, this came out of my credit card, I forgot to add that on, we need to add that in.
Yeah. And also there's been a lot of people talking about buddying up and practicing on each other, if you're acting as a client or even being a client to your partner, then you can monitor each other and you can see what they do differently and you can tweak it and you can work on it together.
I think ideally if we could get maybe a little list like what you did yesterday for the first appointment, like what you want to cover, would be good. Maybe just the first monitoring call, what you have in there.
I think monitoring my clients is different for each one, okay, so I don't think you can really define it, because I have some clients, as I said, who've been with me for 12 months, still on monitoring, because I'm now their comfort zone, right? I'm their accountability, okay? So when the husband decides that he wants a new motherboard or things, computer or whatever, the wife can go, well, let's just check in with Carolyn and see if that's okay, you know, and they will actually ring me and go, can we do this? Or if we do this, how's this going to affect our plan? And we can spend 15 minutes, and that's all it might be, once a month, 15 minutes to go, you know, how are you going? How's everything going? Oh, well, my husband's stuffed up and he's done this and done that, and I'm not quite sure how to fix this or fix that. So for every one of my clients on monitoring, it's a very different thing. Some of them will get to, and you can't really define, you know, month one we're going to do this, month two we're going to do that, month three we're going to do that, because in my journey, it's been very different for every one of them. And so you just follow what your client needs, basically. Just make sure that they know that the monitoring phase is more about you still being there for them, them still being accountable, and as Bree said, it's about getting them into that habit of, you know, constantly, because we do that as a matter of course, you know, but your clients aren't in that, they're not there yet. Right?
So are you looking into their plan before you call them, just
generally I'll call them and say, okay, let's go into the plan, we'll go into it together, okay? So, okay, I'm here, you're there. I can see, you know, that you've got a little red patch just here, what's that about, you know? And so it's just more about that, but it's very different for everyone, and you just, you know.
So there's two parts of the monitoring. One is just the weekly email that says, tell me where you're supposed to be and tell me where you are. Make sure you get people doing that. You've got to be hard on them at first, because they've got to know you mean business.
Yeah.
Then if you just look at that email, it's like a 2-minute job, if that, to just look and say, okay, they're okay or they're not okay. And if they're not okay, they're supposed to be saying, well, you know, the lawnmower broke down or the car got a flat tire or whatever. Then once a month, it's kind of like, okay, I see the lawnmower broke down and the car blew a tire. Okay, so that probably put you behind a bit. I can see that. So what do we need? You know, you can just sort of guide them. We need to change this, or can you cut that back a bit there so that we'll get over this? You know, one lady that I was looking after recently, everything worked beautifully until she said, oh, and I need a couple of $1,000 to go to Bali at Christmas time. And there was no way there was a couple of $1,000 there that she could just pull out of remaining income, because there was no remaining income to pull it out of. And so I went, okay, if you want the trip to Bali, and someone had gifted her the airfares, I said, what you're going to have to do is look at all of these things that are in there that you've got each week, you know, your clothing budget and your makeup budget and your blah, blah, blah. Would it be possible that you could pull money out of that and stick it in the bank account each week rather than spend it on the makeup and the clothes and the what have you? Because she had just, like, don't even ask the question. Oh, yeah, I guess I could do that. It was like, okay, so it's going to be easy. And if you just do this for this many weeks, there's the money that you want to go to Bali. Now, she didn't do it. Actually, she and her husband split up, and I don't know what else went wrong, but this was a referral from a financial planner. But I showed her what she needed to do to get what she wanted, but I couldn't make it happen. But if like, she could have just as easily gone, yep, that's going to work, and done it. And all my job, or your job, is to sort of come up with the, here's the problem, what solutions can we find? And there might be a number of solutions that you can consider, and they've got to consider, how much pain do I want to go through to get that? But I'm prepared to do this. Or we could look at that, just moving things, denying things. Well, what if you don't do the movies for the next 3 weeks and just leave that money in there? There's $150, or whatever. So really, it's just checking in with people and looking at what that's happened in the last month, where are you at? You know, we want to get a new motherboard, we want to go on a holiday. And when they've achieved one goal, then they're going to go, oh, I want to do such and such next. How can we make that happen? And it's just, you just keep pressing that button that says roll it forward. What does it say? Process all these transactions. Or I should know the name of the button, but it's so new I've forgotten. Yeah, just move along, move along, move along, move along. Here we are. Every day is a new beginning. Past gone. New beginning.
I think it's okay to do that.
I think what David said about the goals too is important, because just every time before you have a call, look at their goals and like, okay, you wanted a house, are we still on track for the house? Oh, you wanted this, are we on track for that? And just relate it back to their goals, because then they'll be happy.
And just one more thing on that, you guys need to be thinking about how to keep your clients, because remember, they sign up for a minimum 6-month contract. If you've got goals in front of them all the time, and if you're checking in, and if they've got a little hiccup, it's going to remind them all the time that they need you, that they want your service, that they want to remain accountable, which is going to make them long-term clients, because you don't want to keep them for 6 months, you want to keep them forever, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so you need, that's one of the ways that you are providing a service, keeping their goals in front of them, exactly what Tony has said, but also getting new goals and fixing up as they go. So that's how you keep that service going into the future.
Just around that, I've had a couple of conversations with a couple of spending planners who are doing quite well with clients, getting clients, but they had told them it's a contract for 6 months. And then I was talking to them 4 or 5 months in, and they go, I'm losing all these clients next month. And I'm going, why? Oh, because I told them it was for 6 months. Never tell someone it's a 6-month contract. Tell them it's a minimum commitment of 6 months, but it's not a 6-month contract.
And also, just while we're on that they have to give you a month's notice in writing to terminate the contract after the 6 months. And then don't ever bring it up again. It should be on their sign-up.
It is, it's on the sign-up.
It's on the sign-up if you're using the sign-up. So it's in writing, it's legal. So it's a minimum 6-month contract, and they must give you a month's notice in writing to terminate the contract after that. Really simple. If you've done your job at 6 months, they won't even question it. They'll just keep going.
So they can't, let you know, 5 months that they're going to be stopping?
Yeah, they can.
Yep.
But they've got to give you a month's notice. So you get a minimum 6 months.
Yep.
But they've got to give it to you in writing. When people have to put something in writing, they'll go, oh, I don't have time to do that this month. I'm serious. Do you want your businesses to keep going? But the other thing is, they'll terminate with you if you haven't given them good service. What Tony and David just said, that's good service. What Carolyn has told you, that's good service. What Bree is saying, it's good service. So they won't terminate with you if you're giving them good service. But if they put pen to paper, you'll know they're not happy with your service, or the season is finished. You know, if you've done well with them for a couple of years and they think they can manage, well, that's fine. But that's how you keep your businesses going. How many of you want a passive income from customers that just get checked every week or two? Exactly! And the rest of you should be putting your hands up.
You should know how many customers you want paying $100 or $80 or whatever dollars a month right now. That should be on your goal board, your vision board.
Yeah.
And if you're not excited about that, well then how's it going to happen?
Yeah.
That 1 month notice, I think, is quite generous. It could possibly be more than that. Think of it, if anyone queries you about it, think of it as, that gives me a month to continue working with you to make sure you're in a place where I'm happy to leave you. You know, that's sort of what that month is, rather than just ditching and saying, and then they go off possibly not comfortable and happy, and then they're not going to refer you anyone either. Like, I mean, a bit off topic, but Tony and I do dancing lessons, and they say, you have to buy a minimum of 10, because we can't guarantee we can get you to a place that you'll be happy in less than 10. So the same sort of idea, you know, you're buying, you're saying you have to give me a month to at least get to a stage where we're happy to part. And it could possibly even be more than that. So that's a good response to basically the whole one-month notice part.
Yep. Excellent. All right, guys, we have to wrap this session up. Thanks, Jenny.
Thanks, guys.
All right, excellent. So has that helped? Yep, it's good, isn't it, to get different perspectives on what people are doing and just to get different ideas. And you can see we all have different ideas and takes on it. Like, I think I'm always thinking about the future. David will tell you that. Everything we do, it's always like, how's this going to look in the future? If we do this now, how will that affect the future? What's going to get us to our goals in the future? You know, but other people think about now or service, or we have different viewpoints, and it's very good to hear them all. All right, we're going to have a 5-minute break.
The coffee machine is working.
So 5-minute break and then back in the room, please.